Chapter 2.
He's no good!
Tyrae still heard Dad's voice in his head as he forced himself to Bluford High School and darted toward the back row of his English class. Thunk! Tyrae's cast bumped someone's desk, sending a book slapping to the floor. He ignored it and tried to pretend everything was normal, but as he neared his seat, he could feel his classmates watching him. Mr. Mitchell and Daryl hadn't yet arrived.
Maybe Daryl's snitching on me right now, Tyrae thought.
He imagined the smaller boy talking to Principal Spencer. If so, he knew he would be called to the office and have to admit to everyone what really happened. The idea made his stomach churn. Tyrae glanced around the noticeably quiet classroom. The stares of his classmates seemed to crawl all over him. He knew they had heard the rumors that he had a gun. But had they heard worse? Did Daryl tell them the truth? Is that why they were watching him? Tyrae couldn't stand it.
What you all looking at?
He grumbled finally. No one answered. Jamie Wills and Amberlynn Bailey, two girls on the cheerleading squad, turned away as if he were beneath them. Rodney Banks, his old friend, shrugged his shoulders and ignored him. Tasha Jenkins whispered something to Janelle Wiggins, and they both shook their heads. Other students flipped through notebooks and acted as if he wasn't even there. Only Harold Davis, Daryl's best friend, faced him. Normally, Harold was too scared to even look his way, but now the chubby boy eyed him warily. Had Daryl called Harold last night and told him everything?
You should have seen him, Harold. He was sitting in this puddle crying like a baby. For real, I couldn't believe it,
Tyrae imagined Daryl saying. It made him cringe. Harold rose from his desk and walked toward him. Tyrae suddenly felt cornered. He couldn't just sit there and wait for what was coming.
What you want, fat boy?
Tyrae challenged, standing up.
Ain't you got a sandwich to eat or something?
He had teased Harold countless times about his weight, calling him Heavy D or HD back when they were in middle school. But now he didn't want to insult Harold. He just wanted him and everyone else to go away. Harold shrugged and lowered his eyes to the ground.
Nah, he mumbled. I just want my book.
Tyrae followed Harold's eyes and saw a book lying at his feet, a worn copy of their latest English reading assignment, Lord of the Flies. Tyrae realized he had knocked it to the floor when he rushed into the classroom. Careful to hide his relief, Tyrae sucked his teeth and kicked the book toward the large boy. Harold crouched over, grunted, and grabbed it.
Man, you better stop eating, Heavy D,
Tyrae teased, trying to pretend everything was the same as always.
Or you're gonna need a bra.
Why you gotta be so rude?
Said a voice from the other side of the room. Tyrae looked over to see Jamie Wills.
At least Harold don't go stealing money from girls.
Tyrae winced. He didn't need Jamie to remind him of what he had done to Lark Collins. The shy, frumpy girl was the only person who had been nice to him after his humiliation in the cafeteria. But Tyrae had used her, convincing her to give him $40 for a gift for his mother. He actually wanted the money to buy a gun. When Lark found out that he had lied to her, she flashed him a sad look that tore his insides with guilt. Tyrae pictured it when he held the gun to his head.
Ain't no one said your name, Jamie. Why don't you just mind your own business, he snapped.
The classroom was filling. Tyrae knew everyone was listening. He wished Jamie would just shut up and leave him alone.
My friend is my business, Jamie huffed. Maybe you'd understand if you had some friends.
A few students gasped at her words. Tasha pulled out her cell phone and texted something, her thumbs working in a feverish blur. Tyrae tried to pretend Jamie's comment meant nothing, but for an instant he was speechless. Part of him felt the urge to slap the smug look right off her face, the way Dad sometimes treated him. But he could never hit a girl.
Jamie, if my friends were anything like you, I'd rather be alone, he grumbled,
trying to act as if nothing had changed, as if the moment in the alley didn't haunt him, as if his father's words weren't eating invisibly at his chest.
I don't know why Lark ever talked to you, Jamie said, turning away from him. She's too good for you.
Tyrae cursed under his breath and slouched in his seat. He knew she was right. Just then, Daryl Mercer stepped into the class. An ugly scrape covered his right elbow.
Tyree knew it was from when he had knocked him off his bike. For an instant, Tyree pictured him lifeless at his feet. It had all come so close. Darryl sat down and glanced back once at Tyree. "What's up?" he said quickly before turning around and facing the front of the room. Tyree froze, unable to speak. His throat felt as if someone was gripping his neck. The entire classroom hushed. It was as if everyone was stunned by Darryl's gesture. Even Harold, Darryl's close friend, looked puzzled.
"Did you see that? Ain't they supposed to be hating on each other?"
Tyree could see the questions on their faces. Their surprise told him Darryl had kept quiet. He hadn't told them what happened. Not yet.
"Ring!"
The first period bell blasted overhead. Mr. Mitchell walked in, shattering the moment. He glanced for half a second at Tyree and began taking attendance, as he did every other school day. It was as if yesterday had never happened.
"Today, we're going to talk about violence,"
Mr. Mitchell said then, picking up his copy of Lord of the Flies.
"We've all seen it. Too many of us have experienced it, including some of you."
"Me too," he added with a look toward Darryl.
"I want to know why."
A few students grumbled and rolled their eyes. Others shrugged as if what he said made no sense, but most turned to the front of the room. Tyree was relieved to finally escape their stares.
"I'm serious. How can we stop what we don't understand? We lose more young people in this country to shootings each year than we do in wars. I'm tired of it. I don't want to lose anyone else, especially not you. So let's explore this problem," Mr. Mitchell continued.
"Many folks have theories about violence. Some blame society. They say people are born peaceful, but that civilization, money, and power makes them violent. Others say people are born violent, and that civilization, laws, and police keep us safe."
A few students snickered at the mention of the police, but Mr. Mitchell ignored them.
"Your book talks about this, but before we get started, I wonder what you think. Where does violence come from?"
Tyree squirmed in his seat. He didn't want to hear about violence or the police, especially after last night. The images of what had almost happened blazed raw and fresh in his mind. He felt like getting up and walking out of the classroom. Instead, he slouched low at his desk and waited for class to end. The teacher didn't call on him the entire period.
"Can I speak with you, Tyree?"
Mr. Mitchell asked as soon as class ended. Tyree nodded. After last night, he expected it.
"Listen," Mr. Mitchell began, careful to shut the door once the class emptied.
Tyree braced himself. He knew some students liked Mr. Mitchell because he tried to help them with their problems. Until yesterday, Tyree thought the teacher was nosy.
"I know things have been rough on you, but I want to tell you something. No matter what anyone says or what you're feeling inside, you need to know what you did last night was brave."
"Brave?"
Tyree couldn't look the teacher in the eye. Normally, he would say Mr. Mitchell's words were corny and stupid. Now Tyree thought he was just plain wrong.
"You don't understand. You don't even know what happened," he wanted to say.
"That's right. You are brave enough to walk away. Not everyone does that, Tyree. They're so worried about their reputation that they do something they know is wrong. Or worse, some of them are so hurt inside, they don't care anymore.
Not you. I can see you care. You faced all that stuff down and did the right thing. That's what being a man is."
"But you don't know what I was about to do," Tyree thought. "You don't know nothing."
Tyree's words caught in his throat.
"And because you did that, Darryl's still here, and you're still here, and no one's in jail," Mr. Mitchell explained. "And no one's mother is crying this morning. It could have been very different. We both know that."
Tyree stared at the floor. His eyes started to burn and sting.
"You changed your whole life just like that."
Mr. Mitchell snapped his fingers to make his point.
"There's a whole world out there, Tyree, bigger than this school or someone's reputation. Because you walked away, you still got a chance to see it. I'm happy you made the choice you did. So's your dad, even though he might not know how to show it."
Tyree cringed at the mention of dad.
"He ain't happy about nothing," Tyree grumbled. "Especially me."
Mr. Mitchell nodded.
"Look, if you ever need to talk, I know someone who..."
"Need to talk?" Tyree repeated. Man, what you trying to say?
Come on, Tyree. We both know you have a lot going on. Sometimes it can help to sit down with someone. I know a counselor. He's helped a lot of young people, and I think he could help you.
I don't need no counselor or whatever. There ain't nothing wrong with me, he said, rising from his seat, angry with himself for almost letting the teacher get to him. There was no way he was going to tell some stranger what almost happened. No way.
Tyree, sorry, but I gotta go, Mr. Mitchell. I don't want to be late, he said, storming off to his next class.
How are we doing, Mr. Hobbs?
Principal Spencer asked Tyree hours later. She stood in her usual spot at the cafeteria doorway, eyeing students as they approached for lunch.
I'm fine, Ms. Spencer,
Tyree grumbled. He slipped his brother's old iPod deep in the pocket of his black hoodie so she wouldn't see it.
Things a little better today?
She asked, peering at him curiously. He knew she had heard the rumors too. She even had his locker searched for a gun earlier in the week. Of course, she found nothing. He had kept the weapon away from school.
No, Miss Spencer, they ain't no better. But what you gonna do about it?
He wanted to say. Instead, he nodded.
Yeah, they great. Never better, he said. I hope so, she said, with an edge to her voice.
He barged past her into the noisy cafeteria. The air was filled with the roar of students talking, the slap of backpacks hitting the ground, the groan of plastic chairs scraping against the tile floor. Tyree glanced at the spot where his whole world had crashed down just 2 weeks ago. He knew the cafeteria was full of people who had witnessed it and laughed at him, people who had pretended to like him until that day.
I never liked you neither,
he mumbled to himself, fighting back the anger that still boiled in his chest. He grabbed the iPod from his pocket and stepped into the lunch line when a familiar face came through the side door. It was Lark. Wearing loose jeans and a frumpy purple sweatshirt, she stepped to her table and dropped her heavy denim book bag. Back in middle school, he used to chuckle when girls like Natalie Wallace and Shanetta Green teased Lark for being quiet and always having her nose stuck in a book. He had even laughed along, but Lark never held it against him. When he broke his wrist, she didn't join others in teasing him. Instead, she told him she felt bad about what had happened.
And all I did was take her money, he thought.
Come on, man, stop daydreaming. Move!
The voice shattered Tyree's thoughts. He turned around and realized the line had moved forward. He was holding everyone up.
Wake up, yo!
Someone else yelled.
I'm hungry!
Tyree cursed and stepped forward. He had stolen money from lots of kids, including Daryl, never thinking twice about it. But something about Lark made him feel worse than all the others. Maybe it was the innocent way she smiled at him, as if she saw something in him no one else could see. He cranked up the iPod to block out his thoughts and grabbed a tray of spongy chicken nuggets and watery green beans.
Some say to be great is to be misunderstood, but they don't come to my neighborhood.
He swaggered out with his food, letting the music drown out the voices of everyone around him. But then he saw her again, Lark. Now Jamie, Cindy, and Amberlynn had joined her at the table.
She's too good for you, Jamie had said.
He knew she was right. If only he could pay Lark back.
Where school is a prison, and a prison is a school, and living is passing, and surviving is the rule.
The music pounded as each girl at Lark's table turned and glared at him. If only he could show Lark he was sorry, that he had thought of her the moment he had raised the gun to his head. But how? He had no money.
Do you feel me? Can you even hear? I'ma scream louder before I disappear.
And then it hit him. He yanked off his earphones and walked toward their table. Why hadn't he thought of it before? It would only take a minute.
Hey, what's up, Lark?
He said, ignoring the stares that locked on him like gun sights.
Will you just leave her alone?
Jamie said before Lark could even respond.
She's over you. Done. See ya. Yeah, she don't want nothing to do with you,
Amberlynn added.
I ain't talking to neither of you,
Tyree shot back. All he needed was a minute with Lark. That's all it would take.
Lark, can we talk?
What do you want? Asked Lark finally. He could see the tiny hairline scar above her lip.
She had told him she'd gotten it when she fell down her grandma's steps when she was a kid. Tyree wasn't sure if that was the truth.
You don't need to talk to him, Lark, cut in Jamie. Ignore him. He's just a wannabe thug who got what he deserves.
Jamie's words hit Tyree like a slap in the face.
Girl, I'm sick of y'all talking about me,
he snapped, unable to control himself.
You don't know nothing. Why don't you just keep your ugly mug out of my business?
Heads turned toward them. Tyree could feel it all slipping out of control, like always. He noticed that his voice sounded like Dad's.
Why, what you gonna do, shoot her with your cast?
Mocked Dante, a sophomore from a nearby table. All his friends erupted in laughter.
Yeah, he gonna be like this, joked Louise,
one of Daryl's friends from the wrestling team. As he spoke, he crumpled up his sleeve into a mock broken arm and then pretended to shoot it as if it were a pathetic gun. The laughter spread like wildfire. Tyree gripped his tray, fighting the urge to swing it at Louise's face.
I told you, Dante said. He all talk. Been dishing it out all year, but now he can't take it.
Yo, come on, guys, a voice cut in. Just drop it, all right? He turned to see Daryl stepping toward them, carrying his lunch. Tyree's stomach sank. It was bad enough that he had seen him cry. Now the smaller boy was standing up for him. It was almost more humiliating than when he had broken his wrist. He wanted Daryl to shut up, but he couldn't bring himself to say it, not after what happened. The cafeteria suddenly felt as if it was closing in. The stares, the laughter, the whispers, Daryl's pity. Tyree had to get out. Without a word, he slammed his tray on an empty table. Silverware clanged to the floor, food splattered. Hundreds of heads spun around to see what was happening. Tyree grabbed his brother's old iPod.
Here,
he said tensely, putting it down in front of Lark. It was the only thing he had that was worth any money, his one chance to do something right, no matter what everyone else thought. He needed her to have it.
What's this?
She asked.
I owe you $40. I wanted to pay you back, and this is all I got right now, he explained.
Jamie and Amberlynn looked up at him as if he had just spoken a strange language. Lark stood up.
Tyree, I can't keep this, she said,
but he ignored her. He stepped over the mess and headed toward the door.
Tyree, Lark called. Tyree!
He stormed out, not once looking back.